Have you had that moment yet? You know the one, where you don't cry for your country anymore. You laugh because of the absurdity. That moment in which you become assured that your country, at least in the form it's in right now, has completely jumped the shark and there's no way back. And it's so absurd, you're not upset anymore. You're just laughing. I had two of those in the last week. The first of those came in the Senate hearing the other day for this new voter rights bill. What the Democrats are really doing here, and it's quite frankly a brilliant strategy, is instead of risking getting caught committing voter fraud, they simply legalize it. In this case, they were in the Senate hearing for H.R. 1. They were actually arguing it's voter suppression to remove dead voters from the rolls so they can vote. Removing these voters, the dead ones, from the rolls would be illegal under H.R. 1, but then all of H.R. 1 is illegal because our Constitution explicitly says the federal government can't run elections. In fact, the federal government can't do almost all of what it's doing today. But then the way it seems to go in this country now is Democrats can do whatever Republicans don't object to, no matter how illegal it is. So here's the first jump the shark clip today, folks. And when I say jump the shark, I'm not telling you the country's over. I'm just saying the country in its current Federalist form is done. I've been arguing that for a while, that it will become such a joke that people will simply shrug it and its laws off. Whole states will do it. It's only a matter of who goes first. And it's stuff like this, folks. Take a listen. The guy in this clip is Roy Blunt. You don't know his name because he's in Republican leadership and he doesn't give a rip about you. That's why you've never seen his face and you don't know his name. He hasn't had one bloody word to say about anything that's happened in the last 2 years. Not the election, not the gun grab. But this was even a step too far for old Roy. Take a listen.
Why would that bill, removing dead people from the voter rolls based on Social Security information, be voter suppression?
Because there are frequently errors in the lists that are used in Social Security and other.
So your view would be the federal government is not capable of telling the state which Social Security recipients died and no longer get a check. So we should turn the entire election over to a federal structure. I just don't agree.
Senator Blunt, can we allow the witness to answer the question, please?
No. The witness did answer the question.
Again, why are they even debating this if the Constitution says that the state must run the elections, not the federal government? I don't know. But here's what made me laugh. This bill, H.R. 1, actually blocks the states from removing the dead from voter rolls. Why? So the Democrats can get the Social Security list of the dead and vote for them. Duh. Even old Roy knows it. Which leads us to the second jump the shark moment this week. A moment of such absurdity, I roared when I read it, which is kind of sad because it was in the Wall Street Journal and the financial pages. The Wall Street Journal, with a straight face, announced this. The Fed, that's the Federal Reserve. Anybody know why the Federal Reserve was created? By the way, it's completely unconstitutional too. But anybody know why the Federal Reserve was created? To manage inflation, to halt and stop inflation. This week, as it's clear that spending, printing, and borrowing has spun catastrophically out of control, the Fed just announced they're not down with stopping inflation anymore. They give up. They quit. That can't be a good sign. In fact, they're not even going to meaningfully acknowledge it. That'll fix it. Remember these moments I'm laying out here, folks, in the years ahead, as people talk about the run-up to the crack-up of this country. How the Fed announced that it would cease forecasting inflation and simply live in the moment. But first, let's revel in the absurdity. Take out a piece of paper and write these numbers down. Then add them up. This will gobsmack you as you write these numbers down. Do you realize how much money we're on track to spend in 2021? I'm not even going to count Trump's stimulus from December. Okay, let's start in January. We just did a $2 trillion stimulus, right? We are planning a $3 trillion infrastructure bill for this summer. I had to laugh because when I left work on Friday, it was a $2 trillion infrastructure bill. I'm not really sure what happened over the weekend, but by the time I came back on Monday, it had jumped to $3 trillion. Okay. Yeah. Oh, and behind that, another $2 trillion bill, allegedly for COVID and stimulus and something. That's planned for later this summer. Right. Now, all of that is on top of the slightly more than $4 trillion annual federal budget. You're writing on that envelope? We're at $11 trillion, folks. This year that we're planning to spend or have already spent. You know, I'd love to go through the grocery store and ask folks shopping, anybody got an idea like what the whole annual U.S. economy is? Does anybody know? It's $20 trillion. And we're on track to spend how much this year? $11 trillion. How much do we bring in taxes every year? Roughly $2 trillion bucks. So we're spending $9 trillion more than we have? Uh-huh. Why am I the only person alarmed by this? And honestly, I've moved beyond alarm to pure fascination. How is this even possible? That's even funnier than these figures I just gave you. More on this and more laughs on the other side. To understand the absurdity of this, so you can laugh too, you have to understand how the federal government figures it'll pay for the stimulus and how absurd that is. Basically, the plan is this. Take the stimulus we just passed, $2 trillion roughly, right? Our plan is we'll just put out treasury bonds. People will buy them. They'll pay us the money for the treasury bonds and we'll use it to pay the bill. Then somehow, some way, someday, somebody will pay it back. One problem. It's $2 trillion. Anybody know how many people there are, like, on Earth? It's 7.6 billion with a B. Okay, so let's suppose every man, woman, and child on Earth bought a $100 treasury because they all want to lend us the money to pay for the stimulus. Now, that's $400 for a family of four. There are many parts of the world where a family of four doesn't make that in a month. But let's assume everybody does. Every man, woman, and child spends $100. How much money would we raise? You know, out of the cost, the $2 trillion cost of the stimulus, we would raise $760 billion out of the $2 trillion Congress just spent. So only $760 billion in cash would come in. That's a problem. See what a problem that is? We're spending so much money. There aren't enough people on Earth to borrow it from. I'm kidding, folks. God, it's so funny. I die laughing. There aren't enough people on Earth to borrow it from. So what do? Well, like I explained earlier, we put out all the treasuries. Some people buy them. There'll be some investors buying them. But there aren't enough investors to buy all that paper. So the Federal Reserve prints money and they buy up our bonds. It's all very fake. That's the math on just the $2 trillion stimulus we just passed. And somehow they think they can pass another $3 trillion one this summer and then a $2 trillion one after that on top of the federal budget. Now, keep in mind, we already borrow a little less than half of the $4 trillion federal budget. All of this is astronomically preposterous. It's the kind of thing you'd expect Zimbabwe or Venezuela to do right before they're forced to break into the zoos and kill the zoo animals for food. That actually happened in Venezuela. There's simply no way you can make it add up. What happens when you do a thing like this? Well, we own the world's reserve currency, so we think we can. Has anybody in human history ever borrowed or printed this much money while holding the world's reserve currency? No. Nobody exactly knows what'll happen. And yet they sit, from Fox News to CNN to Fox Business, straight-faced, debating what and where and who the stimulus should go for and whether it's fair that 90% of it isn't COVID-related or something. And nobody ever touches the central truth. Is this even possible to do? Now, it's long been believed by economists that once countries borrow 100% of their GDP, 100% of their economy, for us that's $20 trillion, that they enter a spiral of inevitable inflation that causes their collapse. That once you do that, there's no monetary policy, no fiscal policy that'll get you out of it. How much have we borrowed? Glad you asked. $30 trillion bucks or an economy and a half. That's right. While you weren't paying attention, Congress stole the entire economy and they spent it. And then they spent another half of an economy. And this year, as I pointed out earlier, we're on track to spend another half of an economy. Now, common sense tells you, and you probably learned in your high school economics class, when you print money like that, the value of each dollar goes down. So suppose you had a dollar worth a dollar at the beginning of it, but now you're printing a lot of fake dollars. Well, what does it mean? There's more dollars. So that means your dollar's now worth, I don't know, 95% of what it was. Print a little more, now we're down to 90. Print a little more, now we're down to 85. Have you noticed your money doesn't go as far as it did a year ago in the grocery store? 6 months ago? Have you noticed the dramatic change? Huh, you haven't seen anything yet. Inflation is about to spin out of control. On what timeline, you want to know? I don't know. Nobody's ever done this before in recorded human history. Not at this level. You'd think this would be quite a topic of debate. You'd think there'd be a right-wing take on it and a left-wing take on it, but there isn't. You'd think there'd be a Republican take on it and a Democrat take on it, but there isn't. Nobody is discussing it. It's astonishing. Which brings us to the Federal Reserve, the agency that's supposed to handle inflation. Again, the Federal Reserve isn't even actually supposed to exist. It's unconstitutional, but it does, so we'll play along. Here's what the Wall Street Journal just wrote. I darn near spit my coffee reading this, laughing. Here's the headline. You ready? A Fed with no fear of inflation should scare investors. You think? Markets are only just waking up to the implications of an important shift at the Federal Reserve. And what is that? That the agency built to handle inflation, to forecast it, and to set policy to combat it isn't. Well, they're not really going to acknowledge it anymore. Wait, what? Here's how this bizarre article begins in the Wall Street Journal. Let me tell you why they're writing it this way, by the way. The Wall Street Journal is God when it comes to investing. And everything, even the most subtle concerns they raise, can tank a market. So for them to actually put this headline, this is a big deal. A Fed with no fear of inflation should scare investors. Now, given the size of the actual problem, scare is a pretty sorry word. It's a pretty sad word. It doesn't even begin to approach the scope of the alarm we should feel. But the Wall Street Journal can't say that because they'll cause financial ripples throughout the market. So instead they write, it has taken 4 decades, but the Federal Reserve has finally shaken off its fear of inflation. Funny, this article runs the week after the $2 trillion stimulus, and the week in which we announced the new $3 trillion infrastructure bill, all of a sudden, the Fed is not really going to think about or forecast inflation anymore suddenly. You know why? It'd be unspeakable if they did. People would run in terror. Here's what the Wall Street Journal writes. The outlines of the turnaround at the Fed have been developing for a while as the Fed's focus has moved from its inflation mandate to a constant emphasis on its goal of full employment. I'm dying. We're out. The ship's going down. We're putting up the white flag. We're not even paying attention to this inflation anymore. Don't blame us. Because it's coming and they know it. Listen to this line. How Orwellian this whole thing is. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell underlined the final two steps, looking at where inflation actually is rather than worrying about where it is forecast to be. Okay, let me explain to you what just happened here. This is an incredible line for anyone with even a high school understanding of economics. You know what Fed Chairman Jerome Powell just said? We are no longer going to live in reality if we don't forecast where inflation is headed. And let me tell you, that line goes straight up. Then we can just live in the moment and report today's level of inflation. And that means you'll never know where inflation is actually headed until the day we get there. It'll be the day everything collapses, so we won't need to worry about it. That's essentially what he just meant. It's not exactly what he said, but those who understand it understand what he just meant. We'll just live in the moment now. We're not going to look forward anymore because if we did and reported what we saw, markets would begin to collapse. Then the Wall Street Journal continues. This article is just, I can't barely wrap my head around it. They continue. After the Obama stimulus of 2009, by the way, that was $800 billion. Even Democrats were concerned about how it would be paid for. And the popular parallel was to troubled states such as Greece. This time around, the mainstream Democrat concern, such as it is that spending too might prompt inflation. God, that's the understatement of the year. Anyway, they go on to babble for several pages more about how we probably can just ignore this inflation thing and it'll probably maybe go away. At least it probably won't be too bad in the short term, although it might be bad in the short term, but then it might not be bad in the long term. So we could just stop worrying about it because the Fed is. They don't even bother to make the economic argument that it'll go away. Their argument basically boils down to, well, if the Fed isn't worried about it after 40 years, guess we shouldn't be too. Hey, look, there's a squirrel. Many books will be written about this period, and they'll reference that article and the sentiment from the Fed that was just expressed. And they'll talk about it many years from now as the day the Fed shut its eyes and refused to see anymore. Because politically, for them, and these are political animals running the Fed, there was no other option but to close their eyes to what the political class was doing. That just happened, and almost no one noticed, which in itself is hilarious. No one's talking about it. Not really. But then that makes it just like most of America's real problems. We talk about everything but what's really a problem. And this is no different. Thanks for listening to the Battleground America podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded friends and family everywhere.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on radio.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Be sure to share with your friends and family. Thank you for listening.